Welcome, everybody. I am Jesse Mogul, and thank you for joining us on the American Contingency Podcast. We are a united nationwide community of steadfast Americans ready for any challenge that comes our way. We inform, equip, and train so you can prepare, respond, and recover from any man-made or natural disaster or situation. And today, I have the awesome honor of being able to introduce you all and have a conversation with our National Communications Coordinator. He's also a critical care paramedic practitioner in his other life outside of American Contingency. Max Williams, welcome to the show.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. We've had a great 30 minutes talking about motorcycles and traveling and what you've seen on the Natchez Trace. And there's so many cool things that I've already gotten to know about you. For those out there in AMCON world who don't have a familiarity with you, what is it that you would say you primarily do as the National Communications Coordinator? You know, what got you into AMCON? Maybe I should start there. What fired you up? Because a lot of people come on and say it was Mike Glover's video about getting up off the couch. Let's start there. What got you involved with American Contingency?
I had a next door neighbor. He came up to me and he asked me the question. He said, would you be interested in helping a local survival group with their communications? I said, sure. I said, I try to help everybody, you know, learn comms, because without communications, you know, we can't survive. We've got to talk to each other either in person or over the radio. And this person was in American Contingency. He was one of the local groups, and I met with them and helped them get trained. We had three or four of them, and we got them trained up as ham operators. And I went from working with a local group, then I started working with the state group, then I went working with the regions, helping all the states get together in the Southeast. And then I was approached about this position and I moved up to it. And what I do in this position is we have six regions across the United States, and it's my job to help coordinate the communications between all the six regions, whether it be by voice communications or digital communications or telephone. Telephone is your number one communicator that we all use. But when the stuff hits the fan, we've got to have a backup to it. And that's where we come in, to the AMCON ham radio network. That's our job, is when everything else fails, we've got to be there to cushion everybody and pick up that link between the East Coast, West Coast, the North, and the South.
I've got a lot of questions about ham radio operation, because I've had quite a few people come on and discuss that, and I still am not part of that ham radio operations crowd. Now, I do know that there are more smaller versions as compared to my grandpa's huge setup in our attic when I was a child. But specifically, before we move into that conversation, what was your background with communications that would have led this American Contingency member to even approach you to begin with?
Well, I was with Lauderdale County Emergency Management for a little over 20 years, and we changed directors, and he changed out all of the communications people and went with the local law enforcement that were paid people. So he did away with all of his volunteers. And when this came along, I was looking for something to take the place of that, and this was just perfect. It allowed me to talk statewide and help set up groups. And that's what we did when I was with emergency management. We set up comms groups throughout the county. I was with a testing group that we now have with American Contingency, W5YI, and we trained over 120 firefighters in the period of 1 year to be ham operators. And those 120 firefighters turned into a Skywarn network for Northwest Alabama.
That's fantastic. It's like, and it's cool to know that firefighters are learning this kind of technology too, which again has advanced so much since back in the day. And so for those people out there who have been intrigued by this idea of the ham communications and being able to get into this world, what is it that you would say to them whenever there might be this block in their head that says, man, this is going to be super complicated to learn all of this. Cause every time people bring it up, they mention training. I'm like, I thought it was a walkie talkie. I just turn it on and just start chatting with people. So what is the more to it? Cause clearly it's more than just a walkie talkie. There's obviously training involved.
Well, you can go a couple routes to get into comms. American Contingency, we highly recommend that all members have a general mobile radio, what they call GMRS portable radio, in their go bag. And a lot of people will start out to get your GMRS license. All you have to do is apply through the FCC, and $35 will get you a 10-year license that's good for you and your family. And it allows you to talk legally with these low-powered handy talkies. Well, in my area up here, we have people that are on GMRS repeaters, and we have taken them, and I'd say a third of them, we have trained them to learn how to use ham radio, because they thought that ham radio was, you know, awful. And they said, we tell them, said, look, said, you've been talking on GMRS for the last 3 or 4 months, and you've learned how to talk on the radio. Now go back and learn how to take the test and learn the information. And ham radio was real simple. About 6 months ago, I think we had a 9-year-old. She passed her technician test. We had a 12-year-old pass their technician test. And we had a 14-year-old pass their general license test. And getting your ham license is very easy. All it takes is just a little dedication, sitting down, and reading through the book. There's a little over 300 questions in the book, but there's actually 100 questions that are asked three different ways. And once you read through those questions once or twice, you'll figure out that the questions are easy, and all you got to do is figure out which one is not right.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. It's just
a little bit like the SAT.
Eliminate
at least two or three because they're stupid.
So. Yeah, that's what I try to tell my people. I said, all right, when you go in there and take it, I said, figure out what it's not.
Well, I mean, so that definitely answers part of the question on how people would get started, right? You get yourself one of those ham radios. So let's go there. If somebody wants to get started, is it as easy as going to a big box store, buying one of the handheld GSMRs? Did I get the acronym right? GSMR? Already.
GMRS.
GMRS. All right. You're going to teach me. I'm going to put it in my notes. GMRS. You're already teaching me stuff, Max. I'm telling you, I'm the novice over here. So somebody wants to get into GMRS. I guess one of my, you know, there's two-part question. How would they get their hands on a ham radio? Is it as easy as going to a big box store and buying one that's portable? And two, why is there a test? Why is there all of this stuff? Because you said then to legally communicate. Like, why is there so many different steps people have to go through in order to utilize this form of communication?
Well, years ago, everybody's been a CB operator at one time, and Citizen Band originally started out as part of the ham radio band, and you didn't have to have a license back then. And we had a license. We had to apply for a license for CB radio. My call was KZP 9610. I'm one of the few people who still know their call sign. My dad was KET 3072. And all you had to do was apply for a CB license, and you got license. Well, the FCC decided that it was starting to get a little bit cluttered when Smokey and the Bandit came along. And they had another frequency band out there that was in the UHF commercial band, and they made up what was called the General Mobile Radio Service. Well, the General Mobile Radio Service, unlike CB, all you had to do was apply for a license, and then every one of your people in your family could use that same license talking to each other. And CB is limited to 5 watts. GMRS is limited to a 2.5-watt handy talkie and a 50-watt mobile. But On CB, you talk locally with your 5 watts. On GMRS, you can put up a repeater in your community, and it allows you to extend the range. And what a repeater is, it's a radio that sits on top of a mountain or on top of a building complex, and you transmit into this repeater on one frequency, and then you receive on another frequency, and it allows you to skip your signal across the county. And that's what the GMRS and the ham repeaters do. The FCC requires you to take a test for the ham, because ham radio is an introduction to electrical engineering and the electrical service. When you start as a technician, you start learning what is called Ohm's law, and you learn about the different products and the different pieces in a radio. You start learning basic electronics. As you move up from the technician class to the general class, it increases your knowledge of radio theory. And then we have an extra class now, and this extra class, it moves you more to an engineering standpoint from it. I give the commercial radio exam, and to me, the extra class test that we give to extra class hams, it is more intense, and it's more dynamic than the commercial license. I mean, you got to put in some serious study to learn all of the information you need, because it's everything that you would learn in electronics course from the beginning pretty much to the end. And I can't tell you how many kids I know that have got into amateur radio. They have went through all of the courses, and I had a child that came over to the house, and I thought he was coming to see my daughters. He wasn't. He was coming to stand at the door and watch me talk on my ham radio. Well, he started out, I invited him in. He got to listen to the radio. He got his technician license. He got his general license. He later got on because he had an FCC license and got to be a 911 dispatcher for the county. After that, a year or two later, he moved on up, and he ended up being the state communication coordinator for the Alabama State Troopers. And he did that, and all because of ham radio that gave him the licensing that he needed to move up in his job.
That's fascinating that a child was able to accomplish all that. How old was this kid?
He was 11 years old at the time.
So for the people who are novices like me, and I just heard technicians classes and electronics and electrician. I mean, there's a lot of words there. I'm like, wow, this is pretty intense stuff. When I think about all of the different ways and methodologies that one might be able to get into this, I can't help but think that it can sound like a whole lot of responsibility to just be able to go off and get one of these ham radios and then be able to communicate in your county if there's a natural disaster situation. So if somebody out there brand new, they're like, you know what, this ham radio thing sounds interesting. All those tests don't sound like a great time, but at least ham radio sounds interesting. What would be their easiest path to getting started in the ham radio operation?
Okay. Anybody can buy a ham radio. You can go online right now and buy a ham radio or GMRS radio. But what you need to do, you need to find a local club, ham radio club close to you, and get up with them, and they will help you get started in it. Or if you're in American Contingency, we have channels that are called Elmer channels that are on Signal. And you can go to hamstudy.org. Start studying the questions. And if you've got questions, you can come on to these different channels that we've got on Zello and ask these Elmers, people like myself that have been in it for 15, 20 years, more than that. And we will help you understand the questions and help you get prepared to take the test.
best $10 somebody could spend a month, become a premium member. And then you could, for the listeners out there who are not familiar with Signal or Zoho, those are communication apps that we use within American Contingency. And so, for, you know, somebody wants to learn, the best way to get started is join American Contingency, because I know that there are thousands of people in our organization that are ham radio operators. It seems to be something that a lot of people are very enthusiastic about. And so I can't help but go back to what you were saying earlier about, you know, there are a lot of tests and there's a lot of stuff that you're going to have to do if you want to move up the ranks. But to get started, there's organizations like ours out there that will help you, that will guide you, that will teach you what a repeater is and make sure that you understand, like, this signal can actually reach really far. And before we turn record on, I had asked you, you know, like, what is your day-to-day duties? And you were like, making sure everybody in the country can talk. And that's when you started mentioning repeaters, because we have an ability to literally, somebody on a ham radio could be in Maryland and be talking to California because of the way the system is set up here in the United States.
We have one of my radios sitting behind me back here. We run a digital app called JS8 Call, and it's on the HF bands. Right now, there's probably 7 or 8 members that are online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I can go in there and type in to my keyboard and query this program, and it will tell me that Mike up in Maryland's on, that KE6MES is on out in California, or somebody is on in Florida, and there's always these 6 or 7, and we're growing every day. We run these digital nets once a week, and we also run voice nets. And when we run our voice nets, we tell everybody, hey, we're running a 20-meter or 40-meter voice net today. We're running a 70-meter net Monday. Sunday afternoon, we're running digital nets, and we practice passing traffic. We've got what we call sit reps. We've got stat reps. These are informational forms that collect information. We've got salute that collects information, and we pass it between station to station. And that's how we practice staying up in case something went wrong. Example, AT&T had an outage this morning. They lost like 35,000 people. Their coverage went down. Well, I've been sitting in here monitoring it. Our people have been talking back and forth on HF, or attempting to talk. Sometimes the conditions would not allow you to, and you got to change bands. But we were there just in case they needed us to activate and pull all of this digital system into activation. That's a lot of our backbone. And this system stays up and running all the time.
What's really cool about all the things that you just described is the strength of our network at American Contingency and our ability to help those who want to learn and who want to be more involved. Like you said, there's 6 or 7 people who are always on the network. They're ready to answer questions. You know how to switch bands. You know how to be able to facilitate conversations. If AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, if any of them drop tens of thousands of their customers. So for those of us who are in American Contingency, who are also within the ham radio network, when there's disruptions in comms, is there a status report that they can submit to you? Is there a way that they can let you know, hey, there's been this disruption, we really need help figuring this out?
They can submit a report to us. If your phone is still up and you can access the internet, you can go and access and submit a stat rep on the main page up there. There's a place at the top of the page that you can click and drop down and submit one. And it tells us the situation, what's going on, the time of it. If you know what has happened, you can put that in there. If you need anything, you let us know. We've got that. We also have we have phone apps that you can contact people through the Signal group, through the Telegram group. We monitor, I told you earlier, we have 6 regions across the United States. We've got the North, the South, the Northeast, the Southeast, the Southwest, and the Northwest. And we have a Zello channel for each one of those that is monitored 24/7. Your regional coordinators and your comms coordinators in each area monitor those. And we found out a lot of times that when the internet goes down and the phone systems go down, a lot of times the back channel on cellular still works. And the Zello channels have continued to work when a lot of our phone services have went down. We've been very fortunate on that. Also, we've got what we call WinLink. WinLink is an email system that we use similar to our digital system that you can send even if you're not a ham operator. We have a call sign. It's Kilo Bravo 2 Alpha Charlie at winlink.org. And you can send an email to WinLink and it will go through the HF radios and it will go to our person that monitors our WinLink system, and you can get information to us that way through it. And I mean, it's great to be a ham. You can, being a ham operator, you can go straight in on the HF frequencies or the local VHF frequency and tie into this WinLink system. If you're not a ham operator, you can just send an email to us through the WinLink system and get information to us.
So many amazing ways that we have developed communication strategies within American Contingency. Looking into the future, what would you say the goals are for our ham radio network? To continue to grow it, to facilitate other people to be introduced to it? It's awesome that 11-year-olds can learn this. So anybody out there who thinks this is complicated and Max is, you know, talking above your pay grade here, just understand that the child can learn it. It sounds like it really just takes patience and determination. I'd feel a little foolish being afraid of having bought one at this point, but what are the goals for our ham radio network moving forward?
We are trying to get every person that we can into radio, whether it be the general mobile radio service or the amateur radio service, because we have a tiered radio system. The general mobile radio people, they may have a small group over here, or the CB radio people may have a small group over here. And if they don't have a ham operator, we'll have them a ham operator that we will try to get in contact with them and set up in their group. That way they've got a way out of their lower communications. Well, that ham operator, he will have contact with the state. The state will have contact with the region, and we will move it on up that way. And that's how we move communications up. But the important thing is that everybody have a radio in their go bag. I don't encourage having a radio, a GMRS radio without a license. But if you've got one and you don't have a license, it's better than not having anything at all.
Right.
GMRS radio is excellent. We use it in my community. We have repeaters. We talk radio to radio, and that's, you've got a 4 or 5 mile range depending on that. But we are trying to build our digital system across the United States so that we have people in all states that if something goes down, 90% of your ham operators have got a backup power system. I've got 200 amp hours of battery bank here, and I've got 200 out there at my repeater to keep my radios up. So I can run my station for quite a while, a couple of days on it. I can drop my power back down from 100 watts to 5 or 10 watts. And on digital, that's all it takes.
Okay.
Because we recently had a winter field day, and we go out and we set up our radio equipment. We run on low power. We run on batteries, and we talk around the country. We test all the time. We had a national exercise here several months ago and looked and found out where our weaknesses were, and we see where we need to grow. But we are trying diligently to get more ham operators into the AMCON region and build our digital system up so that we can have stations in each state.
I know I jokingly said people talking from Maryland to California a minute ago, when you said that you have these tests that you do and you set all the equipment up and you're really talking to people around the country. Are we literally talking about how somebody in Miami could be communicating with somebody in Seattle via ham radio?
Very easily. Very easily. They're even...
That's even fascinating to me, by the way. Yes. I just think that's fascinating.
After you've been a ham as long as I have, you learn different paths. I can sit here in the afternoon on the 10-meter band on the FM section, and because the way that these the ionosphere is charged up, I can talk with 10 watts to California on just 10-meter FM. And I was talking the other day, and we were trying it, and I was working with stations out in Arizona, North Dakota. It's all about to learning your equipment and what all your equipment can do. A lot of people will buy radio equipment. They will buy it, charge it up, and put it in the closet. That's not what it's all about. If you don't have it operational and know how to use it, it's not worth 10 cents. And that's why I encourage everybody once a month to go through your go bag. Check everything you've got in there. See if you've got anything that's expired. Check your batteries and your flashlight. And most of all, check your radio. Make sure your radio is operational. I highly recommend that you separate the radio, the battery, and the antenna and take them apart. That way that they don't get broke while they're in the bag, because when you put an antenna on a radio, it makes it a good 7 or 8 inches long. If you've got it in the go bag and you're pulling your go bag around, there's a good chance you break the connector off. Then what if you've got a radio and a battery with no antenna? So I recommend to people to take your radios, separate the radio, the battery, and the antenna, and that way that you know that when you take that bag open, you put it together, it's going to work. Yeah. And check it once a month.
That's very good advice. And yeah, I'd like to bring conversations up at the dinner table with the family where I really am gauging their interest in the conversations we have here at American Contingency. And my stepson got into this conversation catastrophizing a bit about what would happen if an EMP was blown up over the United States and it shut down communications, because obviously our cell phones would stop working. Most of our cars would stop working because of the microchips in them. How is ham radio built to withstand such an attack? Is it? Or does somebody need to go out and get a Faraday cage for their whole setup and have it wrapped up in that, in their go bag, in their closet? Is this even a concern? Because we started talking about how would you communicate in such a manner? And that's really what, you know, where the hysteria starts to come into play, is that all of a sudden nothing works. Our cars don't work. And we don't know what's going on. And people will get a little bit freaked out about that. Then that's what could start the riots and the anger towards one another, not having information, hence communication being so important.
That's why communication is important, because that's why most societies fail and most organizations fail, is because lack of communication. A lot of your hammer operators, not all of them, but the ones that can afford it, will have an extra rig and an extra power supply. Anything that might be affected by an EMP, I have radios put in a Faraday cage, and then I have them in an all-steel structure. It's an above-ground storm cellar out there that is nothing but a giant Faraday cage. And I keep all of my backup equipment, all of my test meters, anything that it might take to rebuild a radio system from the ground up. Now, I do have one old radio. It's one of the radios that came out back before the Yaesu brand. It was called a Tempo. And I think it later on became a Yaesu 101. But this Tempo is an all-tube type radio. It has no transistors in it. And by all rights, it should withstand an EMP if I did not have it hooked up, because it has no transistors in it, no integrated components. And it will talk as good as my other ones. I keep it in a Faraday cage also. So the only way we're going to get through an EMP is be prepared for it. Like I told you, if you got that radio in your go bag, go that extra step. Buy a small Faraday bag. They make them where you put something in it. You put a computer in it. You zip up the top, you fold it over, and you can go one step further, get a larger bag and double the size of it. Put a Faraday inside of a Faraday. That shows you that, you know, you're going to be protecting it. And if we don't have things put up during the time of an EMP, we're going to lose everything, because it'll take 18 months to two years to build the system back. But all of our radio gear, if they're not EMP protected, they will be gone immediately. Yeah. Phones, watches, anything electronic that's not in a cage will be destroyed.
And I realize for a lot of people out there, like, okay, that's the catastrophizing. That's that 1 second after, which is a fantastic book. It's what sort of got me a bit freaked out about this. It may have been the catalyst for me leaving California. That's a whole different conversation. But for those, you know, Any Given Tuesdays, which is what Tom talks a lot about with those of us within the leadership structure here, you know, how are we helping people provide for themselves and their families, their loved ones, their communities, just on any given crisis that might happen? Huntsville, Alabama, for example, does not have the best system in place to deal with ice storms. So we got very little rain, but it froze and it turned into this solid sheet of ice throughout the community. And for basically 7 days, most people couldn't get out unless they were willing to just brave the conditions and potentially wreck their car. And so now we're thinking, well, what could communications do in that kind of situation? So an ice storm comes in, it knocks down our cell phone towers, it makes those things no longer work. I see a really amazing opportunity for people just in their own communities to be able to talk about the schools being closed or what roads are clear or how they might get to the grocery store. There's a lot of just normal everyday life situations that could occur where being knowledgeable about a general mobile radio service, these GMRSs we've been talking about for the last 30 minutes, could actually be very handy.
Yes, the GMRS is absolutely wonderful. Most of your GMRS repeaters that are put up in the community are put up by ham operators. And it's like I said earlier, most of your ham operators will always have an emergency backup power system. And this emergency backup power system normally will last a day to 2 days. Well, mine, I've got 230-watt solar cells that have got regulators on them that keep mine hot. And in the event that we had an EMP, if it took out one of my regulators, I've got spare regulators put in EMP bags, stored up. I have a backup for every backup. Most of your ham operators do that. We had a ice and snowstorm back around 93, 94 in this area. The only thing that was operational was ham radio. All of the power was off, everything was down, all the cell towers, their batteries died, but guess what was up and running? Ham radio was. I had a repeater over in Killeen, Alabama, and my repeater was covering Middle Tennessee, Northeast Mississippi, and Northwest Alabama. It was solar powered and wind powered. And that's what ham operators do. They prepare and they try to keep their systems operational so that people depend on us, and we have to have our act together to be able to operate whenever we're called on.
I think it's a great, powerful message to finish off our interview with, is that you're just one person. Yes, you're an American contingency. You've got 20, 30 years of experience with this. You have practiced, you've taught people this, like you've taught children this. And at the heart of it is that you're just one, yet there's tens of thousands of ham radio operators out there who probably in a conversation with me would say similar things. I have backups. I've got a Faraday cage inside of a Faraday cage. I have tested my equipment. I have shown other people how to test their equipment. In fact, it seems to be just the general consensus amongst ham radio operators that if we're doing this, we're doing it all the way, because information is key. And if we want to be able to calm down a populace that might be really frantic trying to figure out things going on, people are going to be turning to you. And I think it's pretty amazing that it's become this gigantic network of people willing to present and help people have information when they want it the most, to calm themselves down and have some sort of sense of normalcy when things might be in full-blown crisis.
Yes, sir. I moved in over here in the location I'm in. I was living closer to Mississippi, and I was down below a hill. I could not talk to different parts of the United States, and I told my wife, I said, the only way I'm going to be able to ever talk is I'm going to have to find a location on a hill that does not have mountains around me, and I'll be able to talk out on all the frequencies I want to. We found the location I'm in now, and I was able to put up a massive antenna system. And my next door neighbor came over one day and he says, what are you doing? I says, well, I'm putting up ham radio antennas. Well, those don't look like ham radio antennas I've ever seen. I said, all they are is just wire antennas. You don't have the big beams? I says, nope, I don't have the big CB beams up there. Well, man, it's going to be nice having you here, because if something happens, I know who I can come talk to get the message out. And see, that's basically what most people think about. In the back of their mind, if something goes wrong, they're going to look for a ham operator, because they know that ham operator is most likely going to have the capabilities to contact everyone. I mean, I've got every type of radio that you can have to talk to any public service organization or whatever. During one of our last bad storms we had up here, I was contacted by the sheriff's department. They needed ham operators. I said, well, I know some, so I got in touch with them. They lost their radio system. It went down. So we put ham operators in there at dispatch at 911, put ham operators in there with the sheriff's units, and we got their communications. And I'm also working on a project with them to start training deputies on how to use ham radio. Well, I don't have to train the firemen, because we've already changed. We trained a whole generation 10 years ago, so we're fixing to have to train another one. And what we're doing, our fire department, we have fire scouts, which is a part of and a division of the Boy Scouts of America. And we're fixing to start training all of our fire scouts how to be ham operators. And it's only like a mile from my house, so I'll bring them in here, let them use my equipment, teach them what they need to know, and teach them how to upgrade to the different levels. And because my generation won't always be here. So yeah, we've got to train the next generation to how to be prepared to do the comms to take care of everyone.
So fascinating. I'm glad that you've mentioned that you've been able to utilize the ham radios to help your local enforcement officers. When all communication is down, they can turn to their local ham radio operators to allow them to communicate about, you know, looters or whatever might be happening in the area. I mean, again, information is so important, and we have it at our ready because of these smartphones. We forget that when there is no communication, then there's no information. We don't know what's going on. And you've got firefighters who know how to do it now. You're training police officers. You're training the youth through the Boy Scouts and getting them more involved. So this, it's fascinating. And again, you're one of tens of thousands, I'm assuming. And again, I know assuming can make an ass out of you and me, but let's just go ahead and assume that you aren't the only one who feels fired up about passing this information on to the younger generation. So this is happening all around the country and tons of different communities. What would be, and this will be your last question, is what would be that message you would have to somebody who's thinking about joining American Contingency and wants to know more about this stuff and just wants to be more prepared when the situation demands for that?
I say that American Contingency is the best kept secret in America. We are one large family of individuals taking care of each other, taking care of our community, and we're growing and we're trying to teach each other how to survive during time of need. We have online training. We have campouts once a quarter that we all get together, and we trade our skills. We teach each other how to do different things, everything from radios to camping to cooking, first aid, stop the bleed, how to put on a tourniquet. It's the simple things that if you've never been in law enforcement, fire, EMS, we have the people in this organization to train everyone that needs the help. I mean, and that's what it's all about. It's taking care of each other and training. If you're not a ham operator, you don't want to be one, so be it. Get your GMRS license. That's what we recommend, that every member that we have in American Contingency have a GMRS radio. You can buy one at Wally World. You can buy one online on Amazon. All you got to do, most of them come with a piece of paper that says, this is what you do to get your license. But if you don't have, if it doesn't come with a piece of paper that tells you that, if you're a member of American Contingency, you can go to our wiki and it will tell you in our wiki how to get your ham license, where you need to go. We have the shortcuts. We have the information. Or just ask one of our American Contingency people and we'll help you. I mean, like I said, this is the best kept secret in the United States, American Contingency.
Well said. This energy I get from you and everybody I bring on from American Contingency, this idea of let's get up off the couch. Let's be our own first responders, because we are. We're always the first one there in this situation. Now, other people can arrive and help us, but we're the first ones who are there in our own lives dealing with the situation that's unfolding and having this network of united American citizens who are like, no, let's help each other. And like you said, let's teach the tourniquets to stop the bleeds, the outdoor survival skills, this how to start a fire when all your supplies are wet. I mean, the 2024 American Contingency Adventure Challenge is coming up in each one of our regions. And there's this whole list of cool skills that you can learn. And I know ham radio is on there and being able to figure out how to communicate when cell phones are down. You have been just a wealth of knowledge. I'm so glad that we had a chance to have you on the show. I really appreciate what we've discussed here. I have no doubt that in the future, I'd love to have you back on and discuss just how American Contingency has been growing with their communications and with the ham radio operators licenses and the GMRSs and all these technical terms I didn't even know existed that I've now been introduced to. You're a wealth of knowledge. Thank you, Max. You've been a splendid, splendid guest today.
I've enjoyed it. Like I said, I just encourage everybody to go out there. And years ago, we had a book that you could get online. It was called Less Who's Talking. It was by Gordon West. It told you how to get into ham radio. And it started with the most simple explanation. And anybody could go buy one of those books, or you can go online to hamstudy.org and check them out. And they start teaching you all of the questions and all of the answers. And it's like I said earlier, I know kids that I've helped start into ham radio. They've gone on to be state dispatchers. They've gone on to be electricians, electrical engineers. And they've learned the majority of their electronics and their basic electricity through ham radio. And that's what it's all about. And when the shit hits fan, you may be just a ham operator, but you know how to take care of small electrical problems and get systems back up and running. And we share our knowledge every day, and I'll never learn it all. There's so much out there to learn. There's so many forms of communications that we got, from digital to voice to analog. It's a never-ending journey that we're on right now.
Well, and it's a beautiful thing that we have people like you and Tom and others that have taken this ham radio and really launched it. I mean, Tom's got quite the setup, and it's just a blessing to have y'all in American Contingency. For those of you out there who are intrigued by this, you can go to our website, AmericanContingency.com/join. You can learn more how to be a member. I mean, literally, for less than the price of a value meal at a fast food restaurant per month, you have access to people like Max Williams here with all these years of communications background, ready to teach you how to use a ham radio, a GMRS, the whole deal. And so it's been, like you said, you heard it here first, everybody. American Contingency, the best kept secret in the United States. So stop by our website, become a member, and we'll help you really get into what it is we've discussed today. So when you're ready to build the skills, the network, and the confidence to be ready for whatever comes next, join us at AmericanContingency.com. We're here when you are ready. We'll keep the fire going for you and the ham radio operational as well, so you can find your way. talk to you all soon. Bye-bye.